Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Good morning and happy Monday. Happy Bills Week. Happy Cyber Monday. Happy after Thanksgiving to one and all in Pats Nation. Hello, Pats pals and Foxborough friends. This is the latest and always greatest edition of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast brought to you by WEEI-FM Boston, Odyssey, and 2400 Sports. You get your old pals Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hot with you. We are fired up because, like I said, it is Bills Week. The Buffalo Bills are coming back to town victorious in four of their last five against the Patriots. Of course, you guys know what happened last year, et cetera, et cetera. But before we start hopping on board the hype train and trying to circle the wagons for the big Thursday night showdown, Jumbo, we have to take a quick peek back at last week because, of course, the Patriots play two Thursday games in a row. Last week was the Sunday night football presentation on a Thursday, where the Pats went to the Skull Hole, as we like to call it, U.S. Bank Stadium, and lost a winnable game, which seems to be a common thread to the Patriots' losses this season, 33-26. It was a great watch. I think both of us agreed on the postgame show. It was a fun game to watch. We saw the offense wake up. The Patriots were competitive at every level, yet once again, self-inflicted wounds seemed to do the Patriots in. So now that you've had a couple of days to sit with it, to marinate, you know, leftovers are always tastier after Thanksgiving night. How are you sitting with and how are you feeling about last Thursday night's game?
I think it leaves the Patriots in the mix. Like, I think that's my takeaway from not just Thursday night's game, but from watching a weekend of football in the AFC, where on paper things didn't go the Patriots' way, because teams you would have liked to have ended with an L did not. And, you know, the Chargers, for example, pull out a game in the end.
Staley's analytics finally work out for him, and Justin Herbert delivers a dime on the 2-point conversion,
which candy from a baby was like at least put on flight.
You or I could have completed that pass. That guy was so wide open. It's no Patriots fan or Bill Belichick's fault that the Jetropolitans start Mike White instead of Zach Wilson, and Mike White's first start of 2022, he is gifted the Trevor Siemian, Nathan Peterman combo with Justin Fields out with the Bears visiting MetLife.
Yeah, there was a bit of an overreaction to that game, but we can get to that in a minute. But just like it just feels like there was one point I turned on the games at almost halftime maybe, and it felt like every game was 10-9, 12-10, like these sort of slugfests, like just slogs. And my takeaway was, oh, the Patriots will take those, like keep those coming over the next 6 weeks. And I think that's how Bill Belichick would like to play. This team would like to play, find a way to win instead of finding a way to lose. Maybe don't give up the kickoff return for a touchdown like you did against the Vikings, or maybe you get the call from the officials like you didn't against the Vikings on that play. So I think my takeaway is, I think you're in the mix. Like this, there may, we're doing a lot of comparing to past seasons. Like a year ago, it was, you went from number one seed to getting your ass whooped by the Bills in the postseason. You didn't belong, pretender. Mm-hmm. And the year before that, people were trying to sell me on a path, a Cam Newton path to the postseason.
Ah, the path, the good old days.
I never really took too many steps down said path. Like, I didn't really buy into it. This year, I think you're in the happy middle. I think everybody's accepted you're not a number one seed. You're not a contender. You're not that. But I think you have a very legitimate belief or feeling or right to believe you are in the mix in the AFC. And for this season, for this year, for these coaches, for everything that's gone on, I kind of feel like that's a decent spot to be. Like, that's okay. It's okay you're in the mix.
Yeah, it's not like we're going full participation trophy saying like, good job, good effort, Patriots. It's more along the lines of, okay, so progress post Tom Brady hasn't been made to a point where you're not Buffalo, you're not Kansas City, and you might not get there again or anytime soon. Nope. And that's sort of okay-ish. I know Pats fans would immediately love to see them return to perennial Super Bowl contention. That's not
triple
gonna
dynasty. Is that what we're doing? Triple dynasty.
We're gonna go triple dynastic now. Like, no, come on, everybody. Let's try to just like dabble in something that I know virtually most of us don't want to live in, and that's reality. And the reality is, like you said, yesterday's games, where, you know, save Miami throttling and then taking their foot off the gas against the Texans, like, I could tell you straight up, like, they've obviously beat the Jets twice, and that's largely due to Zach Wilson's incompetence. Now Mike White, provides, you know, competence, nothing elite. Like Robert Saleh said, he made the easy look easy, and that's all they asked him to do. I'll gladly take these Patriots going toe-to-toe or hanging with either the Bengals or the Titans. Bengals pull it out 20-16, and what a walk-off for Ted Karras. If you haven't seen that viral clip, please, am I so mad they let that guy go, especially after I see him walk off the field and tell Tennessee where they can tuck it and suck it. That was epic.
The funny thing is, just to
love
that
guy.
I love him too, but that is publicly anyway, out of character. And I mean, this is a guy that I can't tell you how many hours I spent listening to him talk about the NFLPA and the post-playing career opportunities it provides for its players and why he's going to Harvard Business School on the bagel at the, you know, and then you got this guy like screaming every vulgarity in the book.
Visceral. That was awesome.
Didn't it seem personal? Like, it somehow felt like every person in that crowd had a personally offended or attacked him at some point, and he was fighting back. Like, it was a weird situation.
Yeah, your uncle was overrated, and Webster was a weird show. Like, whoa, this all did seem kind of out
Webster
of character.
Carried that old man.
It was strange. When you got guys like Pat McAfee tweeting it out saying like, I love this, this was awesome. And you got, you know, you got tryhards and fraud squads and troll patrols all retweeting it or liking it for different reasons. I mean, for me, I got a big kick out of it. And then also it reminded me like, hey guys, we probably didn't need to draft Cole Strange if we actually just kept the guy in house who, when you inserted him at guard last season, the offensive line's grades shot up like 25% to 50%. Like, he's a good player, and they underbid by $2 million. Like, it was just a Belichick misread. And now for that fire and then intelligence and the quality of play he's brought to the Cincinnati line. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, as some like to say, and I digress, as I will also often say, you could hang with Tennessee. You can hang with Cincinnati. You can hang with the Jets. You can hang with the Chargers. I think the Patriots can hang with any team basically 4-7 right now, or 4-8, which, like you said, puts you in the mix of mediocre, which is kind of a goodish spot to be.
Now, I will say, looking ahead to the Bills, you didn't hang with them the last two times you played them. And that's, you could get an eye opener on Thursday night. Now, like, because I thought you hung with the Vikings, who on paper are one of the best teams in the National Football League, whether that paper is the standings or whether that paper is just, oh, look at their depth chart. That Jefferson guy is pretty good, but so's Hawkinson, so's Cook, so's Thielen. Like, so you
and
hung
if you do Uncle Fitzy's old transitive property, like, hey, the Vikings beat the Bills, you hung with the Vikings, therefore you should be able to hang with the Bills, right?
Probably not, but, you know, we can get into that in the preview. So, but just, and I've said this before, I think, on our podcast, like, people like you, you people, for example.
Here we go. All right. Now, why we don't have a sponsor for the you people portion of this? Because you must do it at least three times a show.
But am I wrong to say you people have kind of accepted what we just talked about, your lot in life, that you're not like a step away from dynasty, a step away from the Chiefs, a step away from the Super Bowl. And maybe that's okay. Maybe it's okay to just be enjoying the fight, like the competition, enjoying whatever's going on with Mac Jones. Because that's another thing I'd say. If you watch this weekend, there were a lot of quarterbacks on the field that I think you'd say, I like our guy. I like our guy better than that guy. Like, there were sort of journeyman backups on the field, you know, whether they were winning or losing. Some of them put up nice performances. Like, I just think the opposite of resigning yourself to the fact that you're not that good, how about embracing that you are competitive and like you're in the mix, and it could, you could be Carolina, or you could be these other teams that are scuffling and bumbling and don't have a quarterback.
Or
and
you could be Tom Brady, who's got a losing record and is in first place. And if you were in the NFC South, we'd be in first place.
Exactly. And if they were in any other division, my damn prediction that they weren't going to make the playoffs would be freaking right.
Honest to God. I mean, seriously, Tom Brady only puts up 17 points in Cleveland. Now, once again, here it is. Like, Bailey Zappe puts up a 30-something burger in Cleveland. Old Jacoby Brissett doesn't look nearly as good, completes the great pass to Cooper in overtime. Like, happy to see that member of the Wolfpack get the win yesterday. And before he gets DeShone the door for Deshaun coming back this week, I'm glad Jacoby Brissett rolls out with a W. But Andy, this is the NFL 2022. Games where teams coast in as clear favorites, and in everyone's mind, in eliminator pools, fantasies, DFS, everywhere, they parlays and probably a lot of money line parlays especially, you've got people left and right picking Tampa Bay, picking Tennessee probably at home, picking Baltimore. Trevor Lawrence has his best game as a pro against the Ravens in a shootout with LaMarvelous. It's just so completely unpredictable every week. And while I've said that I think the quality of play is pretty lousy, Brady has said as much, as have others, I'm starting to fall in line overall with both the Patriots' lot in life and what this new NFL is all about. In so much as I'm kind of embracing it the way you just said, like, embrace the idea that you're like a competitor. You're not elite. You're not a title contender, but you are a playoff and postseason and win any given Sunday, Thursday, or maybe one Saturday out of the year contender. And I'm okay with that as a Pats fan, because mostly I saw progress from Mac Jones last Thursday. That's my biggest takeaway. Mac Jones woke the blank up last Thursday, had himself, I'd say, his best day as a pro. And when you say, I'll take our guy over their guys, I'll take Mac Jones. Let's do that real quick. Ready? Mac Jones or Ryan Tannehill?
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones or name the Jets starting quarterback?
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones or
Panthers anyone quarterback?
Would you take Mac Jones over anyone in the AFC West not named Herbert or Mahomes?
The car one is tough for me. I'd certainly take him over Russ Wilson, who's fighting with defensive linemen on the field on his own team.
Mike Purcell was basically all of us, or at least spoke out for everyone who wasted a draft pick on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. Car or Mac? Mac or Car? I'd probably take Mac for the upside. And you said it, like, the funny thing, I'm torn. I agree with you. Mac is trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I posted on our website yesterday, I think he's bouncing back after bottoming out. Like, we saw him hit rock bottom, the struggles, the offense, the injury, everything. The one thing I would say that's disappointing, and this is, again, back to acceptance. So you're saying his best career game, potentially, happened on Thursday Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. What happened in the end?
They lost.
Right. So that's a weird dynamic to be in. But you're right. He was accurate, spread the ball around. You know, we even got back to
his deep passes looked to like really
that's
sharp.
What they wanted to do to start the year. And everybody who caught a ball had a ball of like 25 yards plus. Like, they were all making Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, Hunter Henry, these guys who were kind of forgotten, who couldn't make plays, who were making more mistakes than plays, were doing the job. So, but all that being said, it wasn't enough. You end up losing on the road to Minnesota. And I know there were calls and there were kick returns. So that's that weird land they're in right now. But if I don't know how you couldn't be well, I do know how we could, we could bring Scheim in. I was going to say, I don't know how you couldn't be optimistic right now for Mac Jones, but just bring Scheim in.
Yeah, I know. And I saw Shime's tweet after the game, like, oh, congrats, Pats fans. Like, Mac Jones finally looks good. Here's the problem. The rest of the team looks like shit. Like, come on. Can we just have one nice thing? Like, I didn't go to bed. I didn't sign off the postgame show at 1 a.m. as frustrated. I mean, I signed off frustrated, but I was still heartened a little bit, or given a little bit of hope, a glimmer of hope, if you will, that, hey, they might be able to turn this around, or at least keep up with these teams and make a legitimate playoff push, because Mac Jones, for the first time in a long time, looked like either the guy who had a sensational rookie season or is just 2 years removed from a national championship and one of the most efficient college football passing seasons of all time. Here's the thing. You harp on this all the time. I've heard you time and again here on our pod, on the radio station and more, talking about, like, what in the holy hell is up with all of these mistakes, the self-inflicted wounds? You've called it bad coaching. You even had the stones to say that last season was one of Bill Belichick's worst coaching seasons because of all of these inexplicable errors, the mistakes, the penalties. So I ask you this. A, is it possible they clean those up in time to sort of like marry or catch up to how Mac Jones and the offense are progressing? Or are those going to be their undoing again? Because Pierre Strong running into the punter, giving them a free set of downs, which turns into a touchdown, allowing a kickoff return, penalty, a whiff on a cut block by Trent Brown, which allows for a sack. Just out of the blue, he decides to go for broke on a huge pass blocking opportunity. Like, these are weird things. Patriots, they were always the team that capitalized on that, Andy. And now they're the team being victimized by it.
And going on more than a 12-month span being victimized by it. This goes back to
that's the troubling aspect.
You know, the old Belichickian phrase, don't be an error repeater. Well, maybe not individually they're not repeat, but as a team, they become error repeaters. And like, I'd even throw the Judon jumping off sides, trying to anticipate this, and like just little things that when you're where we are talking about them being, like in a dogfight, you're competing, but you're really, you know, it's a fine line between winning and losing. Those are the things that cause the losing. Even Pilardi, who was one of the negatives, I thought, of his second game as a Patriot, not punting the ball.
Your boy, the Pilardi party is over.
It's a short party, apparently. It's not a midweek party. It's only on the weekends for the Pilardi party.
Better punter, Michael Pilardi or Randy Velarde? 617-779. Yeah.
So that is a concern for me, special teams in particular. A lot of people this offseason were like, you know, if that performance from 2021 happened to any other team's special teams coach, he's fired. Like, you move on from that coordinator because there were just too many mistakes. Now, Bill doesn't really fire people in season. And accord.
I don't think they can afford to fire any coaches, Andy, because they have so few to be. Don't they have like the fewest coaches on staff in the league?
Sort of. They don't name as many coaches as other teams do.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's a short staff.
Oh, I wouldn't feel good about. I mean, they already have to be fair, maybe they could move the quarterback's coach to special teams because that's actually his specialty. And maybe that would solve some of the problems.
And maybe Cam Accord could be the quarterback's coach.
Hey, mate, he's just as qualified, probably.
But the
thing that I found interesting, and I don't know if you saw, Bill got a little defensive yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I think it was our buddy Alan Siegel who was presser. Yep, I love Alan. He's a gentleman at that, and he's an experienced NFL reporter. And he asked him about the high number of penalties, correct? Was it defensive or just overall?
No, it was just overall that they are top 10 in penalties, not top 10 in like fewest penalties, not a good stat, but a bad stat. They have too many penalties.
Correct.
And Bill turned it defensive and said, we don't have that many defensive penalties. Like, well, nobody said that. we're talking about you as a team. So you're going to fixate on the one part of the ball where you don't have penalties and we'll ignore offense and special teams where you do have. It's another one of his moving the goalpost loser laments that have become common in the last couple of years.
Which is so strange for somebody like him, who we took to know and saw him build a reputation of just flying above that, about always exceeding expectations and achieving so much greatness that you didn't have to worry about the statistical muck and mire and excuse making that the rest of the league was left in, because normally they were all choking on your dust. Now,
glad you said dust there. I didn't know where you were going with that.
I know it's early, but I'm semi-composed. It's all right. Hey, that was fun. Are you paying attention, everyone? You never know where this one's going to go. I mean, like, And now Belichick is oddly making excuses or getting defensive. That was my big I listened to it live and I thought, wow, that's kind of a, as opposed to like, hey, got to do a better job, you know, got to coach them up. Like, we can't do this because I think we have enough talent to win games, and self-inflicted wounds are not going to get it done in the 2022 NFL. It was more getting very chippy with Allen, which I was surprised by.
See, I was surprised 3 years ago when it started in the Cam Newton year. Now it's people who say it's uncharacteristic Belichick. No, you are what you are recently, like your most recent. And the last 3 years, that's what he's become. And I think we're learning, and I've said this a little, it's easy to be magnanimous and consistent and all these things when you're winning, when you're sitting on top, like when you're up on the throne. I always say it when I coach kids, like anybody can win. You learn nothing about teammates, coaches, family, friends during winning, because winning's fun. It's easy. Everything's rolling. As Matthew Slater told Mutt and I last week, it may not cure all that ails a team, but winning covers up almost everything. And I think you see that with Belichick. And then as you start to face adversity and questions and losing and these types of things, it's not so easy to sit up on your high horse and be the king. Like, you don't have the hammer anymore, because you've taught us over the years that facts are hammers. All right. Right. Like, forget opinions and columns and all this like glamour. Facts are hammers. And when you hold the facts on your side, the fact is you have too many penalties. So you can try to paint it however you want. Like this offseason when he tried to paint, well, defensively, statistically, we were pretty good. Oh, is that what you want to go with? You were good defensively? Because last we saw you play the Bills, you couldn't stop them. At all. You couldn't.
Two games in a row, the last two games against the Bills, you don't make them punt. Nope. And the average margin of defeat was 21 points.
And you know what I didn't remember? I actually looked this up this morning. Is that the Bills not only dominated you, scored touchdowns every time they had the ball. Like, that whole thing was obvious. Didn't make them punt.
Right.
They went 6-for-6 in the red zone. They went 6-for-6 on third down. Like, so the most important stats, the money's like the prove it. They owned you in every possible fashion. They could not have bullied you anymore. And that's a defense that Bill has the audacity to say, you know, statistically, we ranked pretty high. Like, oh my, please put that away. That's terrible. Like, he's gotten very defensive in a lot of those negative stats or areas when people are pointing out facts, right?
Right.
People aren't like making anything up. These are stats and facts, and he has not responded well, but I do think there's an opportunity here to turn a corner in that direction. Mm-hmm. And if we see Mac turning a corner, and the flip side of that is the defense, right? Like, we talked about, they were going to face challenges down the stretch that they hadn't seen yet. How are they going to react? Okay, it didn't go well in Minnesota. You couldn't stop Justin Jefferson. You couldn't stop anybody else. But
it wasn't as bad as the final score indicates, because I know they lose 33-26, but the defense doesn't give up the kickoff return touchdown. So now you say it's 26-26. And that extra touchdown, I'm not really holding them as accountable for that touchdown, because
you're not holding them accountable.
They
Chuck.
Get the moral victory of making Minnesota punt, and then Pierre Strong, who I hope I never see on kickoff again, or punt protection, or any other special team, although you do have a shortage of players with his youth talent and strength, he makes the most stupidest thing in the world, running into the kicker. That was such a bad penalty. It was such a bad penalty. That's what other teams do. Except now we almost have to expect the Patriots to make those kind of mistakes.
I mean, 3 years seems like a trend. They've been doing these dumb things for 3 years. Like, it is what it is.
And I pointed out in the postgame, Andy, that little things as well hurt your team. Like, you brought up, you know, Pilardi not having a great night. One good punt, two lousy punts. Let's also bring up Nick Folk having to take over kickoff duties again, which he has not done during his Patriots tenure, because Jake Bailey, bigger leg, better on kickoff. Now Jake Bailey can't kick off. That was in a dome, and Folk only was getting the ball down to about the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now what's going to happen when it's freezing cold Thursday night in Gillette and the wind is swirling around and it feels like there's razor blades in the air? How are Nick Folk's kickoffs going to go then?
Or more importantly, for my perspective, because I actually don't think Bill thinks those short kickoffs are the worst thing in the world. Like, if Nick Folk kicks it as hard as he can, and every time it's to like the 5, the 3, the 7, somewhere in there, I think Bill looks at it as an opportunity to cover and give his special teams units an opportunity to make plays. I wonder the wear and tear. Like, anybody who's watched Nick Folk kind of at training camp, and he's an aged kicker. Like, he looks old. He kind of does his thing, knows how to take care of his body, but
he's an experienced football gentleman.
Yes. Now you ask him to go out there and put all he has probably into these kickoffs to get it down. I just wonder, and I know from afar, like some guy sitting on and go, oh my God, ooh, we asked him to kick off three times. I could do that in my bet. I just think it's probably not ideal for his production where he makes his money. And that's right. Going 4 for 4, 5 for 5 when you need him to on field goal.
Within 50 yards, right. Be it indoors or in the elements. And I think this begets the question, Tristan Vizcaino added back to the practice squad recently, can he punt? Because I'm sure his kickoffs would probably be a lot longer than Nick Folk's.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch the special teams this Thursday night and moving forward, like all of it.
Yep.
Coverages, you know, who's doing what, you know, Matthew Slater was part of the kickoff return. Like, I know there was a hold, but Matthew Slater was a little bit out of position on that play. So just that overall unit has something to move forward with, because I think it's going to matter. You can't gloss over it. You're not going to be, you know, you said the Dolphins, you know, took their foot off the gate. You're not going to be a halftime up 30-0 and just cruising to victories. That's not the way this team is built. And as the defense faces more challenges, okay, that's great. Like, we'll see how they meet the challenge. And as the offense gets better, okay, that's great too. Maybe they score a few more points, but
yeah.
The kicking game could still be the tiebreaker, the difference in these. And they haven't played up to their standards really for more than a year now in that.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Area.
Yeah, and they're going to need to clean that up and a lot of other things real quick. I think we can both agree that our three big takeaways from the game now, a couple days removed, as well as the Week 12 Sunday fun day, are that Mac Jones and the offense have turned a corner. Can they continue down the road from the corner that they've turned, or will they regress now that they are going to face stiffer competition, better defenses, and have to produce more points on a regular basis with games like Buffalo, the Raiders, the Cardinals, Buffalo, Miami, Cincinnati? It's a hell of a final six stretch to try to make the playoffs.
And they all looked pretty good yesterday.
And they like, all did look pretty good yesterday as well. Yeah. Now that Josh Raiders game.
Offense coming alive. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray, I watch him run around left end into the end zone. I'm like, oh, yeah, he could give the Patriots defense some problems. Like
Josh Jacobs is a load and a handful and then some now once again.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind signing him in the offseason. What do you think of Ramondre and Josh Jacobs? Oh. Swap out a Damian Harris, always injured, for Josh Jacobs.
All day. I wonder what kind of payday he's going to command. He'll have a market for himself when he's having days like that, winning games with 84-yard OT scampas.
And some of us who had him in fantasy football certainly enjoyed it as well.
Oh, we did indeed. We did indeed.
300 yards from scrimmage, one of the greatest performances in history.
Unreal. Good for them. You're also going to need to clean up the mistakes. Will it be enough time to clean those mistakes up for Buffalo and for this stretch run? Don't even worry about the rest of the games. You've got to clean up these. You have to clean up your red zone act. You've got to clean up your penalties. You got to clean up your special teams big time. Because Buffalo, Josh Allen, he might give you a couple Thursday night. You're going to have to catch him if he does. He's been giving them to a lot of different people.
Of course, he also might run you over for like 90 yards rushing. And
Yep.
Make a throw in the middle of the field to set up game-winning plays and those types of things that he can also do.
And that final takeaway, if the offense does turn the corner, stay turned around that corner and keep up with the trend that they started setting last week, and you can clean up the mistakes, the Patriots can be competitive. And the ultimate litmus test for this final stretch run and whether or not they can keep up, clean up, and turn that corner is the Bills. And we are going to have one hell of a preview episode coming up. Next time you tune in to the Six Rings podcast, wherever you get your podcast, at Six Rings Pod on all the socials as well, we'll have a preview. Hopefully maybe somebody from a National Football League network may be stopping by to help us deliver a little Bills Pats preview. We'll give you our predictions, analysis, score, and so much more. Andy, before we wrap this little impromptu Monday morning Six Rings Pod, any final thoughts?
My final thought is, you touched on it earlier, the bad football thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have done what Patriots fans have done and just accepted reality, but I did see some bad football yesterday, but I was also still entertained. I was okay mm-hmm. with it. And I don't know if that's just, okay, we're coming down the home stretch, the postseason's around the corner. I feel like, you know, it shows you once again just how far ahead the NFL is over everybody else. Like, even when maybe they're not having their best season and there's mistakes and there's a ton of backup quarterbacks on the field, you still kind of enjoy it. You still kind of mm-hmm. like shake off the 10-9 score. And by the end, they're all headed towards overtime, going for two to avoid overtime. And you're like, oh, it's a pretty good weekend. And then you watch the primetime game between the Packers and the Eagles. And you're like, I mean, there was more entertainment in that
first half.
First half than Patriots Jets over the last 3 years, practically.
Right. So,
you know, for all the lamenting that it's a down year and bad year, well, you know what? Feels like we're picking up steam towards what could be an entertaining December and January and beyond for the NFL.
And I'll say this as we close and wrap up another episode. If the Patriots are to go anywhere from 6-0 to 0-6 during this final stretch, I would much rather they do so. And you think it'll be much more as opposed to.
I'm just saying they will indeed go somewhere between 6-0.
Yeah, they most certainly will. It'll be somewhere between 6-0 and 0-6. That we can guarantee.
Yep.
I would rather they do that going down gloriously in battle, kind of like they did against Minnesota, as opposed to grinding out miserable. Sure, you want the wins, but I would rather they go down valiantly swinging their sword like they did last week, as opposed to just grinding out crap wins or not showing you any progress, especially on offense.
That's all on Mac. That's Mac and the offense. And if you want one positive takeaway, I still go back to Thursday night, the opening drive of the game, the opening drive of the second half. They were able to march right down the field, make plays through the air. Mac looked comfortable and in charge. He had protection because, of course, you know, you always have a better offensive line when you're down multiple starters in front of you. That's always the best case scenario.
Oh, always.
Whatever
they
it
got
is.
Rid of the ball quickly, Andy. They got the ball out quick, which is a huge plus for that offense.
Well, the beauty of it, they got the ball out quick, but they still made plays down the field. There was a balance. There was a pick your spots nature to it. So you can do it. That was like the kid who fails all the tests and says, I can't do this, Dad. And then he does it once and you're like, you know what you did now? You proved to me you can do it. Now work harder and get it done more consistently, kid.
And maybe David Andrews will be back on Thursday night as well. He had to miss last week's game with that thigh contusion. Obviously, it wasn't season ending. So there is hope, Pats fans. There is hope indeed for a valiant, if not possibly victorious, stretch run. And it begins again Thursday against the Bills. What a game it's going to be. What a preview pod we'll have for you the next time we talk. Until then, for at Jumbo Heart, this is at Fitzy GFY saying thanks for listening to Six Rings and Football Things. Give us a follow, rate, review, share, and subscribe. We're building a great Patriots community here, and we love having you guys a part of it. Till the next time, go Pats, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.